Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our readings from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We read today in chapter 16, beginning at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some are standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, have you ever thought to yourself, there has got to be a different way? Now, honestly, weren't you thinking to yourself, there has got to be an easier way? To snatch you, body and soul, from death and hell, Jesus chose the hard path. He didn't take the easy way out. And that meant for him a hurtful suffering and death as Jesus walked the path to the cross. In the weakness of his human nature, Jesus would later, from this time, shortly before his death, in a prayer of perfect faith, ask his Father, "Is there another way that we can do this?" When the Father's answer was, "There is no other way," or "There is no easier way," Jesus said, "I am willing. Your will, not my will, be done." Jesus now began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer and die at the hands of his enemies. Now, when he said that, Peter, in his exuberance and impetuousness, as he often did, jumped right in and didn't even offer an alternative. He just said, "Never, Lord, that is not going to happen to you." But Jesus told him flatly, there was no other way. There was no other way. And so that leads us to our theme that for our redemption and our salvation, there is no other way to life except via the cross. We see, first of all, that Jesus had to walk that way of the cross. And secondly, that Jesus' disciples have to walk that way of the cross. St. Matthew sounded a prelude to the seriousness of what Jesus now began to explain to his disciples must take place. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and that he must be killed. There was just no other way. Soon the Son of Man and Son of God, who had kept the law perfectly for us, would go to Jerusalem the last time. And there he would allow himself to be arrested. He would allow himself to suffer his holy passion. There he would make the payment of that holy life on the cross as the full payment to give us a new life. Jesus must die on the cross. Jesus had to become a curse for us on a tree so that he could overcome Satan, who by a tree has overcome us. Jesus would soon offer up that perfect prayer, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." But he told his Father that if your every angry word, if your every lustful thought, if your every angry action could not be redeemed and reconciled in any other way, then he was willing to go that way via the cross. He was willing to walk to the cross and to suffer there. And so when Peter, or rather Satan, put into Peter's mind a loving mind, a mind that was zealous for Jesus' well-being, but pretty short on knowledge and appreciation for what Jesus had to do in order to redeem the world, Peter said, "Lord, that's never going to happen. We'll do whatever we can to stop that." We see later, don't we, that Peter's really didn't listen here to what Jesus said, as in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus pulled out his sword and cut off the servant of Malchus's ear to try to prevent Jesus from being arrested. Satan was trying to be a stumbling block to get Jesus to say, "I'm going to choose a different way. I'm going to choose an easier way. It doesn't matter that my Father said, it's my will that you go this way. I want to go another way." Jesus didn't want to go another way. Jesus did not want to take the easy way out. He was willing to give us new life via the path of the cross. Jesus told Peter and reminds us that God's ways, in spite of what some theology of glory and success preachers tell you, that the way of Christ is the way of the cross. And it is the way of the cross, first, because it's the way of Christ's cross. Apart from God's will, apart from God's way, there is no easy way. There was no crossless way for Jesus to redeem us and to reconcile us. Without that curse of being hung on a tree, you and I would still be in our guilt of our sins and still under God's curse, which is eternal separation from God in hell. Jesus' cross is the place of that great exchange of Christ's righteousness and life exchanged for my sinfulness and my death. It is the cross of our Savior Jesus that is an offense to the world, that was an offense to Peter, that is the way, the hard way, the difficult way, the all-sufficient way that Jesus would have to go. But Jesus reminded his disciples that that wasn't the whole picture. And isn't that really true for us today? Or we think of the Apostle Paul. Whenever Paul preached about the cross and the death of Christ, What did he always include? The resurrection. Did you know that that's one reason why Lutherans in the past have not liked crosses with the corpus of Christ hanging on them? Because some thought years ago that that didn't really go far enough. That here was Jesus' body still hanging on the cross. But no, the cross is empty. Jesus was buried and then rose and ascended into heaven. That's why historically Lutherans have not been necessarily big fans of those crosses with Jesus' body on it. But there's nothing wrong with that. And certainly, as I said, when we think of Jesus' death, when we think of Jesus' cross, don't we always also think of his resurrection and his victory by means of that cross? But Jesus told his disciples here, and on the third day, he will be raised to life. There was no other way to our life except via the cross, and Jesus walked that path. And then the Father would raise his Son from death in triumph over sin, death, and hell. Jesus would finish the goal of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. It is on that path to the salvation of our souls that we too must walk the path of the cross. Jesus' disciples must walk the path of the cross as he did. There's a big difference. Jesus' cross was a redeeming cross. The Christian's cross is a consequent cross. The consequence of Jesus dying on the cross and of us following, of us in humility, giving up everything in humility to serve one another, as Paul said in Romans. To endure and to bear persecution and rejection when we preach the word, as Jeremiah talked about in our first lesson. The consequence of you and I following Jesus' cross is not a life of ease. It's not a life of crosslessness. It's not an easy path to heaven. It is a difficult one, as we must bear our crosses, as you see the individual doing in your bulletin this morning. Martin Luther describes in the Large Catechism what Jesus means by the crosses that you and I must bear as a consequence of following Christ. Luther said, "And let no one think that we will have peace. Rather, we must sacrifice all we have on earth, possessions, honor, house and farm, spouse and children, body and life. Now, that grieves our flesh and the old creature, for it means we must remain steadfast, suffer patiently whatever befalls us, and let go of whatever is taken from us." There are a variety of reasons by which we bear those consequent crosses. Some of those crosses we bear because of our undying and unwavering faithfulness to the Word of God, that we will not compromise that Word, that we will not give up that Word, that we will not use something other than that Word for salvation for lost sinners. Some of the crosses that you've had to bear and that I've had to bear are because we will not join with unbelievers in their way of thinking about things. Or we will not follow them on their paths into wickedness or evil or sin. But rather, we will want to stand away from them. Not sit down, as Jeremiah said, and make revelry with those who are against God. Some of the crosses that we bear come because we are sinful people living in a sinful world. We bring crosses on ourselves by our actions. Some crosses are brought on us by the actions of other people who go against God's will and do things that are hurtful and harmful. There's no way to avoid and be a child of God those kinds of crosses in our lives. Jesus says, whoever wants to follow me and be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Who wants to give up everything? Who doesn't want to follow the ways of evil? Now, who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't want to walk that way? Well, our new man. The part of us has been recreated in the image of God. The old creature, the sinful nature, wants to walk in that way. But the new man wants to walk right behind Jesus as his disciples. And that's why every day you and I have that struggle, that fight between our new man that wants to walk that path of the cross and our sinful nature that doesn't. But we have the power and the strength to do that as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as we keep our eyes on Jesus' cross. Or as Paul put it in Romans, in view of God's mercy. When you're looking and I are looking at Jesus' cross, we have a view of God's mercy to us, to forgive us and save us. Well, in view of that, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. One aspect of our walk to heaven is bearing our crosses. It's not the Christian's way to seek the easy way, to seek the comfortable way, to seek the crossless way. Because all of those ways, Jesus says, are not God's ways, but are men's ways. And then Jesus said, if you want to save your life, and here he doesn't just mean at the end of it, but he means if you want to hold on to and save your sinful life in this world without repentance and without following Christ, then you're going to lose your soul in the end. But if you give up your life now, if you give up your life of sin, if you give up your life of self, give up your life of seeking the easy way that goes contrary to God's will, if you follow Christ and endure your cross, then in the end, you will save your life, your real life, your new life as a child of God. If someone tells you or us that you don't have to suffer, you don't have to bear any crosses, you don't have to go the hard way in this life to follow Jesus, here's a good thing to say. Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God. You have in mind the things of men. I'm Jesus' disciple. And I must walk the path that he walked because I'm following him. And if that path leads to death, then God will raise me to life. Because there is no other way. And I am joyful and willing to walk as my Savior walked. Because as Peter had just earlier confessed, we confess with him, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.